Welcome back to Cafecito, the podcast where we talk all things culture over some nice cafecito. I'm Joel Carenas.
And I'm Yvette Cruz.
And we're back. It's been a little bit, but and by a little bit, I mean about a year probably. But it's good to be back. You know, things have, I think for all of us, you know, we've gone through our ups and downs and things like that. But it's nice to now, you know, A, be independent, and B, just kind of just back together and doing podcasts and having a little bit more of that freedom to just kind of do whatever and just talk whatever you want. So obviously it's great to record with you again, Yvette.
Likewise. And
yeah, it's this one is one that I've been looking forward to. So what we're doing today, folks, today we're doing two things. We're going to pay homage to really one of the movies that really it's a cultural staple, especially for Latinos. This year is the 25th anniversary of Selena that released in theaters. It obviously launched the careers of Jennifer Lopez. It starred Edward James Olmos, Constance Marie, a whole bunch of others as well. And just to give a little bit of context of it, I remember when this movie came out, and it's not that there haven't been Latino movies before 1997, of course there were, but they really didn't get the fanfare that they probably should have. I know a lot of us think of like Mi Familia and some of these other movies that came out before. And there was stuff in the 80s and the 70s as well. But it feels like at least Mi Familia was the first attempt to try to build something bigger to a Latino audience. It was trying to be like, I don't want to say Godfather-ish, but it was trying to, you know, kind of be a saga. And it didn't really take off as the studio wanted to. But I remember when they said they're announcing that the movie Selena was being made, like, A, some people were really shocked at how quickly they were going to make this movie because, you know, she had just tragically been shot and killed, you know, just a couple of months before when they announced, oh, we're making a movie out of it. But also it felt like, okay, there's a lot of pressure here to get this done right. Like, and it felt like that. And even as somebody, you know, I was a kid when this movie was launching, like it was all the hype on even like Univision and Telemundo. And it's not necessarily a Spanish language movie. Like it's an English language movie. That doesn't mean that, you know, Spanish speaking people can watch it. Of course they did. But it felt like a lot of things were riding on it. And looking back at it now, yes, I think the first thing we think about when we think about this movie is it launched Jennifer Lopez because of, you know, what she became afterward, just became this megastar. But like, if I told you that it didn't make double its money, would you believe me? Because it didn't.
Yeah, I believe you just because I know how things.
Yeah, I
believe you, sadly.
It's sad because, and we'll get into this in a little bit, talking about kind of the way things were for Latino actors in the 90s, you would figure that things would have progressed a little bit more, but they weren't. And I mean, one thing that we can tell you right now is obviously, yes, they had Edward James Olmos, who was an established Oscar-nominated actor, but they had other actors as well playing roles in things as far as age difference that really, looking back at it, is kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
And we'll get into that later, but I just want to ask you, oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, also, we haven't had anything like that. I know we've had movies that do star Latinos, and I know we've talked about this before in our podcast about the lack of Latino characters and Latino actors in Hollywood, but we haven't had anything like that movie since.
Right.
Like correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm talking an all Latino cast where they're speaking English and they're speaking Spanish. Music is in English, music is in Spanish. And most people know who the movie's about, like who this person is, you know? So I can't recall any time that we've had anything like that since.
No, I agree. And I think, you know, the fact that this movie has become so rewatchable, and we'll get into why I say that word in a second, I think it's helped out its legacy, because if this movie wasn't rewatchable, I think a lot of us would probably just forget it. Yeah. And I hate to continue bringing up Mi Familia because I'm really not trying to bash that movie. It's not a bad movie at all. But I don't consider Mi Familia as rewatchable. Like, I don't. You could watch it. It's fine. Yes, you could watch it again, but I don't see it randomly like, okay, I'm going to watch it. It's on TBS right now, you know, and I'm just
like,
going to pop
not
it
like
in
a
there.
Selena movie. Yeah. Not, at least not for me.
Right. You know, and it's like, I'm not just going to pop in, oh, it's halfway through Mi Familia and I'm just going to watch it. You know, it's a more serious movie to an extent. So I get it. It doesn't have that rewatchability qualities, if you will. But I think if Selena wasn't as rewatchable as it is, yes, Jennifer Lopez still would probably be a star. But I think we really want to be talking about this movie 25 years later, or it wouldn't be released in theaters like Warner Brothers did, because they have released it now in theaters again for the 25th anniversary. Like, I really think it'd just be kind of lost. It'd kind of be just another Latino 90s movie that just didn't do well.
Yeah. Can I ask you how old you were? When do you remember how old you were when the movie came out?
Yeah. So it came out in 97. So I was 13 going on 14. And I remember it being a big deal. And something we'll talk about it later, the whole controversy of Jennifer Lopez being picked to be Selena and not a Mexican or Mexican-American actress, it was legit. I know there's stuff online that says, oh, it was a big deal. It was a much bigger deal, especially for our community. Like, it was on freaking Primer Impacto and all this other stuff. Was like how people were pissed off.
And that was before the internet.
That was before
the internet. So I can just imagine if Twitter were a thing then. Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Because I don't remember. I was 6 years old when it came out. So I don't remember seeing it in theaters for sure. I know I saw it. I grew up watching it on TV. And to me, it's rewatchable because anytime it was on, I would rewatch it. So that's how I remember it. Right. So I don't actually remember any of the controversy. So I'm excited to get into that. And also, I just remembered, I wanted to add, we were talking about how the movie, we haven't had anything like that since, where it is an all Latino cast and this Latino story. We have had things like Coco and In the Heights and Canto.
Encanto, yeah.
But the fact is the fact that we can name them probably on one hand, that's a problem. So
yeah. And it's still a problem.
Yes. And it's been how many years? So decades.
Yeah, it's been decades.
So that's an issue. We should have tons and tons of movies to talk about. But sorry, continue.
Yeah, no. We're gonna get into this movie. So this is an homage to Selena, but it's also an homage to one of my favorite podcasts called The Rewatchables. If you don't know what it is, it's from the Ringer Podcast Network. Shout out to Bill Simmons, who hosts these. So it's basically, they just, as the title says, talk about rewatchable movies. Everything from Titanic to Do the Right Thing to Love and Basketball. They've done a lot of them. It's on Spotify. It's on everywhere. I'm sure you could find it anywhere. But I love that podcast, even though I'm technically not a movie junkie. Like, it's not like I'm constantly in the theater. But I just love the conversation of talking about movies because, I don't know, especially after these last 2 years, I don't want to hear more about news and things like that. I just want to get away from a little bit. And I want goofy conversations. And I can't recommend people enough, like, go listen to the Titanic episode of The Rewatchables. It is hilarious, but it's also fun. It's just fun to get away for an hour and a half. Sometimes they go 2 and 2.5 hours. Like, my favorite movies of all time are Godfather 2 and The Godfather. And they went 2.5 hours on each movie.
Wow.
But you know what? I listen to the whole damn thing. Because I love it, you know, and I love those movies and I love just laughing about it. And so I remember when I pitched this to Yvette, which thank you, by the way, for, you know, agreeing to do this kind of homage to not only Selena, but also to The Rewatchables. I just said, let's just have some fun. Let's just have some fun with a movie that we know that's been part of our lives, basically for the majority of our lives, you know, and continues to really entertain different generations of not only Latinos, but people in general. So here we are. So the way this is going to work, so let me break it down for you, the listeners. We have a couple of categories. This is how the rewatchables work. So some of the categories that we're going to talk about is, you know, what's the most rewatchable scene of Selena, which has a good amount of them, and I'll list
so
them
So many
off.
Good ones.
Yeah, oh, yeah. What's aged the best? Because things have aged the best since 1997. And also remember, this movie was filmed in 96. So they started filming it in 96, released in 97. What's aged the worst? Because a lot of things have changed since 1997. And some things have just been mistakes that they really shouldn't have done in production. But we'll get into that in a little bit. We have other categories like best quote and casting what ifs, award for overacting, everything like that, internet research. So just stick around. And yeah, we're going to go through one-on-one of them because we're going to break this movie down. I think we've talked long enough, Yvette. Let's just start talking about Selena. Talk about the most rewatchable scene from a movie that's been, like we said, that's been part of our lives and continues being part of our lives.
Yeah.
Here are the nominees for most rewatchable scene.
Okay.
The opening scene with the Astrodome. Now, I know it's technically not the Astrodome. Like, if you've done some research on it, it's technically the Alamo Dome in San Antonio. But if anybody, like, I'm a sports fan, so I know the Astrodome, by the 90s, it was a dump. It was really bad, and that was actually had like a rat infestation. So when Selena performed there in 94, when her was, she was probably performing to 10,000 people and probably like 1,000 rats. Not her fault, but it was really bad, and they tore that place down, like, I think years later. But that scene with, the disco medley with everything.
It's so good.
It's really good. And you get introduced to everybody. Like, there's AB and there's everybody. There's, yeah.
And also just kind of Selena's character. Like, she's, like, rushing to, like, get dressed really quick. She doesn't seem like a diva. This is all obviously just from what I'm getting from the movie. But you're just, I just feel like from the beginning you're already in love with her. She's just so down to earth. She's waving to people. She's, like, rushing. She's, like, you know, walking with her parents. Like, it's such a, like, it just makes me so excited when that's starting and you're, like, you know what you're going to get into. Like, it's a great scene.
You know, one thing that I didn't notice until I rewatched it, the song that begins the whole medley is I Will Survive. Ooh. And it's kind of like, ooh, a little ironic.
I didn't catch that.
I didn't catch it until I saw it a couple of nights ago.
Wow.
Yeah, I never noticed it. So many years later, it's like, oof. Another scene, Abraham and the Dinos. So this goes to the racism at the club, getting that $10 check from that guy who thought they were Italian, but they're not. And then they go to the other club and we get the whole scene from Play Some Mexican Music. And then you have that one lady who keeps saying, we want to dance.
Get him on my lap.
So that's another scene.
Okay.
Another nominee. Let's go. Selena as a kid. So everything, like her whole, that whole, what is it? 5-10 minute span of her as a kid. She's looking up at the moon. She's dreaming. We got the papagayos or papayayos scene, which we'll get into a little bit because I have questions about papayayos or gallos, okay. I should say. We also have the fair scene. And by the fair scene, not the fair scene where, you know, she's already like a teenager. This is the one that, like, she's there and they're young and nobody's dancing. Yeah, like nobody's dancing.
Oh, the performance. But yeah. No, okay, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah, like that scene. I was like, yes, yeah, God.
I'm doing the little
that little hokey dance. Yeah. It's like two people are like kind of clapping. So you have that scene. And then, yeah, you have the whole washing machine and all that scene. The next scene that I have, anything for Salinas. So that scene. So going away from like the teenager scene where she's, you know, dancing the whole bustier thing, but going for the anything for Selena scene, I think might be considered maybe the most memorable, maybe not the most watchable. We'll vote in a second. But that line of anything for Selena's and the whole, the bus, what is it, Big Bertha has broken down. Or no, it's not broken down. It's on a ditch.
Yeah.
Which we'll get to in unanswerable questions later.
That's true. About how did we get it?
Yeah.
Right. Good question. Yes.
But that scene, we get to see like how much she's beloved, you know, from what it seems like cholos all around Texas who love her. We have Abraham's Mexican-American speech.
Mm.
Another one. When they're in the van. Which, not to go step into the internet research and movie mistakes, but in that scene, if you look closely, there's one shot where AB has a seatbelt on, and then the next scene, he doesn't have a seatbelt on.
He took it off.
He took it off, but then it's back on afterward.
He put it back on. I'm just going to defend the movie.
Okay. But that's where Abraham says that it's tough to be, like, you got to be, twice?
More Mexican than the Mexicans and more American than the Americans.
Right, yeah. Selena in Mexico. So this is where she says, me siento muy excited.
The interview.
Yeah, the interview.
These are all really good ones.
And then that, I put in that same scene, the concert scene.
Oh, yes.
So this is in the concert.
Yeah.
Which is part of an unanswerable question later, too, as well, because 100,000 people, that looks a little fishy. But anyway, we'll get to that later.
I wonder if that's what it was and if that's
I mean, it might have been true. Okay. It might have been true. Yeah. I don't know. But it just looked, as far as the filming, I get it. Getting 100,000 people is going to be tough.
Yeah.
Abraham and Selena, Abraham versus Selena and Chris. So this becomes kind of like the tension of, you know, of the movie for what we're at, like a halfway through. So that's where you get Abraham saying, I'm not going to have this in my family and everything. And then, you know, you get Chris is like, we're still going to see each other. You know?
You've been practicing.
Yeah, I have been practicing.
What do you mean, Dad?
This, you and him, it's over.
Abraham, you can't tell us what to do.
I can tell you anything I want to tell you. You don't think I know who you are? I come from the streets. I know what a bum musician is.
Dad, don't talk to him like that.
I can say anything I want to say to him. I'm not going to have this in my family. Now, let's just get one thing straight. You're not to see each other like this again.
I'm not agreeing to anything. Okay, you can't tell me who I can and can't.
Abraham's intensity, like, we're going to definitely get into that a little bit later as well. Wedding is the worst.
Mm-hmm.
Selena and Chris getting married. Mm-hmm. So, that whole drama of, like, and he will never accept us, you know, and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Then they get married. So, I know we're going to step into early nitpick, but I just wanted to throw it out right now.
Yeah.
The editing of the scene, of the highway, not that great. I give it. It's 1996, 97. I get it. Because in that part, it looks like they're going 35 miles an hour at most.
On the highway.
Yeah, on the highway. But then they cut to, don't go to Corpus, and it looks like they're going 65, exiting to the left. So the thing is, not many highway exits turn to the left. And if so, there'd be a stoplight to allow you to turn left, if not a middle lane. So it looks like Chris is driving into opposite lanes for some reason. And then they added a tire screeching sound effect to it, which you can clearly tell is a sound effect, which makes it sound kind of cheesy, in my opinion. Mm. And then the funniest part, when they cut back to Selena and Chris, they're not going to 65 anymore. They're clearly back going to 35. So that's just a nitpick on my part. All right. I got two more scenes.
Okay.
So the Beady Beady Bomb Bomb montage, I think it's just a fun musical scene.
Yeah.
I think it's really fun.
Yeah.
Like, I put that there because it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And you have Selena with that kind of cow looking outfit that she's like the black and white one, and she's kind of dancing.
All the different outfits.
Oh, yeah. It's a lot of fun.
It's a really good montage scene.
Oh, yeah.
And especially if you're a Selena music fan, then you definitely are not sitting still during that scene.
I didn't put any of the scenes really with Yolanda as rewatchable because they're kind of not rewatchable.
Yeah,
but what I did put is the last few minutes. Not so much when Selena dies, but more the montage of the old Selena footage. And like the fans and all of that, because I mean, really, we have to be real. Like, it's pretty dark ending. I mean, we all know how it's going to end. We all know the story, but it's kind of a dark ending with the whole hospital and everything. And so I just like that when they show the actual footage with the real Selena, you know, the fans and all the candles and all that other stuff. And then at the end is the last of her portrait, you know, giving the date of her birth and date of her death.
Yeah.
So those are my nominees for most rewatchable. So Yvette,
okay,
what is your most? What do you think is the most rewatchable?
Well,
scene?
Well, I actually have a scene to add.
Okay, go ahead.
That I think it's a rewatchable scene.
Yeah.
The scene where they're dress shopping for the Grammys. They dress shopping for the Grammys, and they go to the mall, and they go to this, you know, high scale, upscale store, and they want to like try this dress on, and then this lady who's just tells her like she doesn't know who Selena is,
right.
And she is just like, I don't think we have that in your size, or what does she say? She was just like, I don't think that'll fit you or something.
Fit you, like, it's
yeah,
a
and she was like,
yeah,
that dress is $500. I don't think it'll fit you or something like that. And she was like, can we just try the dress on? And then you know, then everybody finds out. Everyone's like, Selena's back. Selena's here. Come on. Like, which I don't know if that actually happened. I don't, but still. It's a fun scene to watch, and then all the Latinos in the store, like not even just Latinos, I think there's also like Anglos, like just they're all in the store, they're all getting her autograph, and then the woman, it was like, what's going on? And they're like, Selena's here, she's here for the Grammys. And then the girl comes out, her friend Sarah comes out with the dress, and she was like, I don't like it. And she's like, miss, we don't need the dress. It was
you've been practicing too.
Yeah. that scene is just, I love that line. I love that, like, it's very iconic to me. And then it's also, it just reminds me so much of like Pretty Woman. Like,
that's true.
I was in here shopping yesterday, big mistake, huge. Like, that's it. Was it's very much reminiscent of that, and it's just also one of those like movies or moments in the movies where, like, you know, you're like, yeah, like you're just like, yeah, like you're, you know. So I have to add that scene in there because I think it's just so good.
All right, yeah. So which one is your favorite?
Oh, okay.
Or most rewatchable?
Oh, that's tough. I mean, I think the line that most people would remember is the Anything for Selena. So that, I think, is the line that everyone like quotes. I don't think they remember the entire scene because usually it's just that quote that you hear.
Right.
So I feel like that's going to be, I just feel like that one I would have to take off. I don't think the wedding scene, like, just kind of like, yes, I'm all for Susan and Chris, but like, it didn't really do much to me. So I'm going to have to go with, oh, this is so hard, Joel. I can't just pick one.
No,
so I'm going to pick.
You could go 1A, 1B if you have to.
Okay, I'm going to have to go 1A, 1B, 1C. So, okay, I have to vote for the intro Astrodome / what was it, the other
one? The Alamo Dome.
The Alamo Dome. Yeah, whatever. Dome. I have to go for that because it just, like, hypes up the movie, and it's just, like, also, I've seen clips of, I saw this on TikTok, I think, but someone was showing, like, a side-by-side of Selena actually performing at the Astrodome, and then the scene from the movie, and it's very similar. So they did try and choreograph it to, and then tried to have like J-Lo do the same mannerisms, at least during that scene. I know that there's some criticisms about other scenes and stuff, but So that, yeah, I thought that was just great. So I'm gonna have to go with that one. The Mexico, like the whole interview and the performance, because let me tell you, that is the scene that like marked the beginning of my like the like just like random fears that I had. The scene where they're performing in Mexico and they're doing the cumbia song, and then the crowd's getting rowdy, and then that woman in the front row, and she just starts to go down in the fence, and her face gets pushed up. I think about that scene every time I go to a concert because I am 5'1", 5'2", on a good day. And I don't do like crowd surfing. I don't do like mosh pits. No, I get scared. So anytime I see that, like I just remember this woman like getting pushed up and then how they had to pull her out and they had, cause the stage, I think a stage really did collapse when they, I think I read that somewhere that there, I don't know if it was this particular, I know in Mexico there was a stage collapse incident, but yeah, that scene is just always like marked with me. And then how like, you know, it's scary, so there's like drama, but then, you know, they're like, can you perform, like can you do this, and he's like, you know, and so she does, she's like, yeah, okay, I can do it, and she's scared, and you're like, you know, she's still rooting for her.
We need you to go back out there and settle this crowd down. Can you do it?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
And then she goes out there and like she's playing, you know, Como La Flor, and then she does this like trying to calm the, like, yeah, you know, I just, that's
all right,
I gotta go for that scene, like that whole scene is just memorable. So that one, and then I'm gonna go for the dress shopping scene because, you know,
okay.
Oh no. Well,
is there a 1D?
There's, okay, I'm gonna drop the dress scene.
Okay.
That was hard, but I'm going to drop the dressing and I'm going to go with the Abraham, the speech, the more Mexican than the Mexicans, more American than the Americans. Cause I just think that's, it's very true to this day. So yes, those are my three picks. Sorry.
Those are your three most watchable.
Well, what's your vote?
For me, I'm going to go Selena as a kid. I'm going to go three as well.
Okay.
I'll go Selena as a kid. Maybe it's just because I'm such a fan of the Godfather movies, and I just love any movie that like goes back in time.
Yeah.
I just love that scene, and it kind of just, I don't know, it just reminds me like of just being kids. And then especially like, I mean, I wasn't a kid, I wasn't even born in 1981, but I was, you know, born in the 80s. And so we kind of just had like kind of the same similar kind of things, playing football outside and things like that. We didn't really have money for video games. And so I just like that scene. I think I'm going to go Selena, Mexico as well. Mm-hmm. I just think that's exciting. That's when it's like she's beginning to really break through. Yeah, and I'm not going to lie. I like Abraham versus Selena and Chris. I know it's like, it's the tension and it's kind of like, it's really not meant to be a rewatchable scene, but I think it's rewatchable in the sense of like, she's finally standing up for herself.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah, I think she's supposed to be, what, 20? I think that's what the age is. They said like, you're just 20 years old. I think that's what Abraham sense. But you know, she's grown up and she's kind of always had this, and we'll get into Abraham and his, how he is as a father later and what day he's the worst. But this really strict father who's just so stubborn, and, you know, she has the right to be happy. And yes, she's young, it's 20 years old, but still, like, I don't know, I liked it. And I like Chris defending himself too. You know, even right in front of, you know, the face of Abraham.
Scary, yeah.
He is scary, yeah.
Like,
and just Chris is just with that voice, is just kind of like, no, you can't tell us what to do. And yeah, and so I like that scene. So those are my scenes.
All right.
Those are my most rewatchable ones. Cool. Yeah. Let's go to what ages the best.
Okay.
So here are some of the ones that I have.
Okay.
Jennifer Lopez's performance in general. I just think overall, and I know that's easy to say looking back, but I think people don't realize like how much pressure she was in, because she was always, I don't want to say like a co-lead, because she wasn't even really a co-lead until then. She had been in some movies. She had been in like Mi Familia. She had been in Jack, which was a Robin Williams
movie. Oh, wow. That was before Jack? Or I mean, she was in Jack before.
Yeah, she was in Jack before.
I have seen Jack, yeah. Huh.
But she wasn't really like, and I think the only kind of co-lead she was in was Money Train, because I think that was 97 as well. That might have been 96. That was a Wesley Snipes and Woody Harrelson movie. But it wasn't expected. It really wasn't expected. Like, I don't think anybody really expected, like, she used to be on In Living Color. She was a fly girl. She was a dancer.
Yeah.
She can kind of act, I guess, but not really. But then, I mean, talking about hitting it out of the park.
Right. This was really her breakout role.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you know, we'll get to Apex Mountain later, but it becomes a question of, like, is this her greatest role ever, but we'll save that for later.
Okay.
The rewatchability of this movie itself, I think, has aged the best, because like I mentioned earlier in the intro, it's like some movies, and not just Latino movies, but some movies are just not rewatchable.
Yeah.
Some are great movies that, you know, that stand the test of time, but they're just not necessarily a rewatchable thing. And I know, like, the example I'm going to give right now is completely kind of a different one, but it's like Schindler's List is one of the greatest movies of all time. It won so many Academy Awards, but it's obviously a very serious movie about the Holocaust, and it's not rewatchable necessarily. You watch it, you can watch it once, you can watch it again, but it's going to make you cry. It's going to give you all the emotions because that's what it's meant to be. You know, with obviously with this movie, it could have been kind of a dry, kind of boring-esque kind of movie, like kind of a documentary that we see, with all the respect to like on Lifetime and some of these other kind of like, you know, documentaries where they talk about people.
Yeah, you're right.
And some of them are just not that good. And like, oh, that was really bad acting. Uh-huh. Like, and there's some really bad acting in some of these documentary movies that they make about people.
Biopics,
But this one, like the fact that you can watch it halfway through, you can watch it when the editing for Selena's part, you could even watch it right after Chris and Selena get married, and you could still watch the rest of it and still enjoy the last part of it. One thing that I did put in my notes that I said we need to thank you to TBS, because TBS...
I'm sure that's the reason I saw this movie, because I did not see it in theaters. I don't think we ever rented it, but I know I've watched it 100 times.
Yeah.
Thank you to TBS.
Thank you, TBS. And the reason we say TBS is because this is a
also
Warner Brothers...
I think
VH1 does it a lot too as well.
Yeah.
I say TBS because I remember when this movie started doing the cable routes, like probably around late 99 to early 2000, it started to appear on cable. And it was TBS was like one of the first places, because this is a Warner Brothers movie and Time Warner owns TBS and TNT. So TBS has shown this thousands of times. And I think a lot of us, especially for, you know, those who are younger, have probably seen it on TBS or VH1, or during the pandemic, they showed it on MTV also as well, and on MTV2. They showed it everywhere, because you really can play this on any channel, and people are going to watch.
Right.
You know, it's entertaining. It's also, it's a PG movie. Two more, what's the best? Selena's music in general. Mm. I think that's...
Mm. Yeah.
I mean, you could attest to that more than me. You know? But I think Selena's music, obviously, it's going to last forever. Like, it'll be... here, you know, well, when we're in our 70s and our 80s, it'll be afterward. It's just going to live on forever, you know, for such a short career, too. You know, I think that's what makes it kind of tragic.
Yeah, I still can't get over the fact that she was 23 when she died.
Yeah.
That's just insane.
Just the potential, and it's always that what if. Yeah. The last thing I have for What Age is the Best, the soundtrack to this movie is actually pretty great. Like, the soundtrack is basically Selena's greatest hits, plus a little bit of that, like, I think the first song is really the disco medley that really wasn't released until then. It does have a couple like dedicated songs. Like, I think A.B. Quintanilla does a song in the soundtrack. The soundtrack is great. I think it went platinum also as well. Mm-hmm. So back in the days when albums could go platinum, not nowadays. But out of those four, or if you have any other ones, what do you think has aged the best?
Well, I think... Selena's music is just a given. So I feel like I'm just not even going to count that. That's just, it's a given. Like, I can't, it's incredible. If you're a Selena fan, you know, like, there's, like, watching the movie itself is great, but also, like, experiencing the music all over again is great. So I'm going to have to go with the rewatchability of the movie, because, like you mentioned, it's wherever in the movie, like, if you're switching channels and you see Selena's on, like, I don't know, but, like, a ton of people I know, like, just, you just leave it. You just, there's, you know, it doesn't matter if you've just seen it or if you've watched it 100 times already. It's just like, it's like a comfort movie. It feels good. Like, you know what's going to happen. And
that's,
you know, the strange thing is when you mentioned Schindler's List, it's a sad movie. The Selena's fate, if you know, well, everybody knows it. Yeah, it's sad because you know how the movie's going to end. You know how it ended. But still, I think because the majority of the movie is about her life and she is just, she has just this infectious personality that you just, I don't know, you just, you can't help but watch it and enjoy it and feel good and laugh and smile and, like, just, like, relate to the little things here and there, like the jokes between the siblings, like teasing each other, and then same with the dad, Abraham. The music, like, it's just so, it's so rewatchable. It's the definition of rewatchable. So that's going to be my vote. There's, yeah, it's a movie that I could watch over and over and over again and I wouldn't get tired. And it's like, it's one of my, like, 10 movies to get to know me is definitely a Selena movie. Like, I love that movie. It's just so comforting.
Yeah, I agree. I think Selena's music is obviously speaks for itself. We all know Jennifer Lopez's performance is brilliant, but I think it's the rewatchability, because the reasons that you stated and the reasons mentioned earlier. It's like, if this wasn't as rewatchable, we really wouldn't be talking about this movie very much. What's A's the worst?
Okay.
So you're going to have to bear with me here because I got a little bit of a list here, but we're going to make this a breeze. Don't worry. Okay. So I think the thing that is very clear and the thing that upsets me, not because it's the fault of the actors or to an extent, you know, I hate the circumstances of the 90s and even probably before then of what it was for Latino actors. Mm. The same thing happened with African-American actors also as well. So what I'm talking about is the age discrepancy between or lack thereof with the actors and the fact that we couldn't find any other actors to play, you know, these roles. Mm-hmm. Again, it's not the fault of the actors, but here we go. So Constance Marie was 31 when they began filming this movie in 96. So obviously at the time she could play someone a bit younger than her at her age. So, but to have her play Marcela, who's in her late 40s in the early 1990s, when the main part of the movie is set, to me is crazy.
Yeah.
I'm not blaming Constance. I'm not blaming even the producers necessarily. Well, I guess a little bit, I guess the casting. But you just can't have Constance throw on a pair of old lady glasses and a bad wig and say, yep, she looks like she's in her 50s now. Should I keep going? Because I have more. So Jennifer Lopez was 27 when they filmed this, only 4 years younger than mom Constance. Yeah. And Jackie Guerra, who plays Suzette, she's 3 months older than Constance. And that was supposed to be mom and daughter.
Wow.
Meanwhile, Edward James Olmos is 49 when they filmed this movie. But the character of Abraham looks like he's in his late 50s ever since 1981.
Yeah.
And in those scenes when their kids are little, I'm sorry to me, it looks like he's their grandfather. And he looks like he could be Marcela's father. Mm. And now, which could be the worst one as far as the age discrepancy, Lupe Ontiveros, who she played Yolanda. Mm-hmm. She was 54 when she played Yolanda Saldivar. The real Yolanda was not in her 50s when she killed Selena.
How old is she?
She was 34.
No!
20 years difference.
I think because of that movie, because obviously like this is like for the longest time I thought J-Lo was Selena, like because when I was younger, like that it's like the what I saw mostly because I would listen to Selena, but like I didn't watch her like, you know, on TV. I'd watch J-Lo the movie. So I remember thinking like even on my last rewatch, thinking like how is Selena and Yolanda are like really good friends, but there's this huge age discrepancy, right? Because I didn't know that she was in her 30s. I've always thought that she was just so much older. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Like, I looked up, like, Yolanda Saldivar, like, even her Wikipedia, because she does have Wikipedia. Mm. Yeah, born 1960. So when she saw Selena, she was born September 1960, so she was 34 when she killed Selena.
Wow.
And they got Lupe Ontiveros, which is, again, hey, you go get your money. The late Lupe Ontiveros, I should say. You go get your money. But 54 years old to play a 34-year-old? Looking back at it now, maybe in 1996, this part I can't remember, maybe it... We just didn't see it in the moment, but it's looking back and it's like, you're telling me you couldn't find another actress in her 30s, you know, that was not named Constance Marie or Jennifer Lopez or Selma Hayek, what we'll get to later. Like, really? Like,
yeah.
I'm sorry, but it just shows how, I wish I could use another word, but like how crappy, you know, Hollywood has been and at times continues to be.
Yeah, I know. I wish I could say like, oh, that wouldn't happen now. But I can't even say that with a guarantee.
Yeah. So that's age the worst. Here's another one. Abraham's stubbornness. Let's get to a little bit lighter. But lighter, I mean, like he's still stubborn. So here are my signs that Abraham was arguably the most stubborn Latino dad ever. So he constantly wanted things his way. Mm. He never really listened to Marcela. Opened the Mexican restaurant without really telling his wife's okay or without getting his wife's okay.
And quit his job.
Wanted to paint the Papagayo's sign himself and then told the worker to wait. He's like, wait, because they're falling down. Quit his job, even though Marcel told him not to. Yelled in the ear of a waiter to pick up a plate Abraham dropped.
Oh, yes. Yes. I remember that. I was like, why are you mad? You dropped the plate. Why are you yelling at him?
Just drop the plate over. Pick it up now! These plates are too hot. Move them from the fire now! Marcela, everything's gonna be fine. They love it.
Gets mad at young AB saying Tejanos like to dance after that fair.
Yeah.
And it's like, how old is this kid?
Yeah.
Like, sorry that he hasn't mastered Tejano music, you know, Abraham, but like, give him a break. he obviously yells at Chris and Selena about them dating, and there's other moments where he's stubborn, like even like when he flicks the checks when he lost Papa Gallo's or whatever and all this other stuff. But like, I don't know, his stubbornness, like I grew up without a father. And, you know, for me, after watching Selena, I'm like, I'm kind of glad I didn't grow up without a father, because I'm like, wow, if I would have had a dad like that, yeah, I would have had beef with him. But so I think that's one thing that's aged the worst. I want to talk about one of the biggest criticisms of this movie. I just want to get your thoughts on it. So one of the biggest criticisms of this movie is that it paints Selena to be a princess type, as well as there are too many moments in the movie. That's overly emphasizing Selena as beloved and a risk taker. So, for example, probably the most memorable, most quoted scene in the movie is Anything for Salinas.
Yeah.
And in hindsight, the scene is really not necessary. Like, what's the purpose of it? So, like, for humor, probably. But the argument is that it's an example of the script trying to embed the fact that everybody loves Selena. Even though, what, you're it, girl, from Suzette on the bus. So later in the movie, kids are chasing the bus, saying her name. Probably not needed. And how do 5 to 7-year-olds know who Selena is? And how do they know that that's her bus? Also, the mall scene that we talked about.
Yeah.
There are white Americans that are seen there asking for an autograph. But in 1994, she didn't really cross over yet. She was just about to.
Yeah.
Did they really know who she was? And also, and I can tell you this because I remember it, Selena's videos were not on MTV at the time. They were mostly on VH1, which was a channel that's, it's not the VH1 of nowadays. I can tell you that. Yeah. VH1 back then was not the VH1. It's not reality shows. It was more like, you saw like John Tesh, Elton John videos. You saw more adult people videos like were there. Like if you want to see your rap and alternative music at the time, you went to MTV. So his videos were mostly on VH1. They really hadn't crossed over at the time. And obviously YouTube did not exist. So a scene that could be, you know, going back to the mall scene, that might be an example of overemphasizing.
Yeah.
So the argument that like Selena was brave and she stood up for herself, that's a criticism of the movie. It could be true about the real Selena, but it might not be needed for this movie. There's one more also as well. What's the point of the bungee jump scene?
I always wonder that too. Like, don't get me wrong. I love it. It's great, you know. Like, that's right after she had just left. Like, she's eating with Chris in the car, and they're just, like, in secret in relationship, and then she goes to the fair, and then, yeah, I always, like, I wonder, too, like, I remember even as a kid, I'm like, is this supposed to signify something? Like, she just jumps, and then, like...
Like, her life's going up and down or something like that.
I did, and even now, like, still love her, but even now that scene, I just... Or I wish there was an explanation for it. Like, I don't know, like, she's free-falling.
And that guy's like... Like, I'll double dog dare you. And you're like, Selena's like, no, now I'm marching.
Yeah, like, she's just like trying to, it's like, it's cute, but I did always wonder too, like, I'm not saying take it out. I'm just saying explain it. Like, what was the, like, from not, maybe not necessarily the people in her life, but the director, the writer, like, explain what the, like, because it clearly went over my head. Like, I missed the point, but still, it's enjoyable to watch, but yes.
And it's another example of what critics said. It's like, they're trying to reemphasize again that Selena was brave. She's a risk taker. It's like, okay, we get it. She was brave. Like, nobody's debating that. But we don't need this weird scene of, like, her bungee jumping, and then kind of, it didn't really fit in the moment, but...
I mean, maybe it's just like, yeah, I guess like you said, like, she's brave, she's a risk taker, maybe she just, like, goes against the grain, like, this person told her not to, so she's like, all right, now I'm gonna do it, and then maybe that was the thing with Chris, like, you know, dad said no, but now, like, I don't know, but, okay.
So, 3 more, and I'll go really quickly with what is the worst.
Okay.
Kid actors compared to their adult counterparts, so young Selena is a little bit Trigueña compared to Jennifer Lopez, who's kind of not really. The worst one is young AB, because he's fair skinned compared to Jacob Vargas, the actor, who is not. He's Trigueño. I don't know, maybe young AB got a lot of tanning and he just got a little bit darker skin. But basically what I'm saying is their skin colors kind of don't match. But, you know, it's 1996, so, you know, whatever.
Yeah, and then also it goes back to the actor thing.
Yeah, that's a good point. No, that's a good point.
Probably, like, imagine, like, how many Latino kid actors.
Point well taken. I think you're right. Chris and his addiction to hot sauce. So, to me, it's a problem, and I hope he's got some help. Because when you're carrying a holster for your Cholula, it's kind of a problem.
Dude, what are you doing?
Hot sauce.
That is enough. No, they can't make food hot enough for me.
Oh, you are gonna be sorry.
Watch this. Woo! That was good.
And then also later in the movie, he asked Selena to pass him the hot sauce into the glove compartment. So what I wrote down is like maybe in a sequel, Chris, you know, goes to like the stomach doctor and they tell him that he's got like 7 ulcers.
I feel like a lot of Mexicans would disagree with you. I mean, I don't know any
but
that
in a holster. Really?
I don't know any that carry it in a holster, but I do know people who like have to have their hot sauce. Mm. Like they have to. So I guess they're probably like, man, maybe I should get a holster. Maybe they wish they had a holster.
I'm going to go on Amazon and look for a holster.
If they ask somebody. Well, and also like Texas. Like, I mean, Beyonce got hot sauce in her bag. Like,
maybe it's a Texas thing too.
So I don't know. But I also, I just know a lot of Mexicans specifically that would disagree with you about the hot sauce. Oh, but continue.
All right. Are you Cholula Valentina or are you, what's the other one?
Tapatio. I am not a huge hot sauce person. Like, I can have it, sure, but I definitely don't have a holster with it. I don't have it in my car. I don't have it in my bag. I have it in my kitchen, but I don't need it on everything. So I'm whatever. I like Cholula's fine. Yeah. Valentina's fine.
I like Tapatio, but it's really basic. Fine.
It's all, but I don't have like I can't do a blind taste test and be like, this isn't Valentina. This is Tapatio. And this is like, I can't do that. But so I'm fine with all. I'm fine. They're all fine. But
I like Tapatio, but you know, my parents are from Ecuador. We don't really use hot sauce a lot. So, then the last thing that they use the worst is actually the Grammy scene. Because you can't fake something that's actually on tape. And I can't believe that the writers and director just let this slide and people thought that they couldn't look this up. So in the movie, Selena wins and the music is Beady Beady Bum Bum. And Selena goes and gives this long and emotional speech. In reality, Selena does win, but the song played is No Debes Jugar. And it's a very short speech that she gives. It's on YouTube. And also, by the way, the Grammys were not in LA. They were in New York. So that whole scene that they go to the mall and all that stuff, that's all BS.
Oh.
So, sorry. That's so, that needs to work. So, let me give you just the recap. So, Grammy scene, Chris and hot sauce, kid actors, the whole Princess Selena thing, Abraham's stubbornness, and age. You know which one I'm going to vote for.
Yeah, I'm going to probably agree with you. The age?
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Because I mean, I didn't know, obviously.
And again, it's not the actor's fault.
Yeah, no, it's not their fault. It's just very unfortunate that's how it went down then. But I'm going to vote for that one because from the very first time that I saw the movie, which I don't remember, but it was definitely on TBS, I remember how much it bugged me when, yes, they age. Abraham, I guess, didn't, Edward James almost didn't, I don't know. It just, I guess you're right. He did look a lot older than the kids when they were young.
Like 59.
But I guess, I don't know, because he was just like in everything and it's just him and I feel like he did play the part really well. Like, I guess that one didn't bother me as much. But Constance Marie, when she's older, when they do the jump, as a young mom, she's great. Like, love her. I can see the role. Love it. But then when they do the time jump and she's in her 50s, you said?
Supposed to be in her late
40s. Oh, late 40s. I just remember when they did the jump. Like, I just, and every time I watch it after, I just can't get past. It's just I feel like her wig and glasses have aged the worst. Like that because, and no shade to her at all.
Right, no,
she's
great.
Or costume. Like, maybe that's what they had to work with. But it's just, even this last rewatch that I did, like, it still bugs me. It just.
Oh yeah, I can't stop.
I feel
looking
like
at
I don't know. I don't even know if they tried to like facially, like makeup wise, to make her look older. They just said, here's a wig and here's some glasses. Here's a wig
and here's like a mom vest.
Exactly. Like, and I just and then even like, I know, like, I don't know how you, I guess I'm not an actor, so I don't know how you would also act older, but like, she just, all I can see is young Constance Marie in a wig.
Yeah, it's so, like every time I look at her face, it's like there's a young woman playing like a middle-aged.
Yes, and it's just, it's bad. So that is what's always, one of the things that's always bugged me about the movie. Like, probably the thing that's bugged me about it. So I'm going to go with that H/ Constance Marie's wig and glasses.
Okay, I agree.
No shade to her, though.
Yes. Let's go to best quote.
Okay.
So I only got 4 here, but you can add in any if you have.
Okay.
So I think the obvious one, anything for Salinas. Mm. So much for my bustier.
No.
I also put down, I'm not going to have this in my family. This movie doesn't have that many, a lot of the quotes, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, there's not a lot of like dynamic quotes. It's not like The Godfather or something that have like 15 quotes. And I also have Me Siento Muy Excited.
Oh, Me Siento Muy Excited is a big one. So is
there, are there any other ones? Those are the ones I can think of.
Well, to me, it's the Mexican. It's the, you got to be more Mexican than the Mexicans and more American than the Americans.
That's a good one.
The one when they're in the car and, oh, but right before she's going to Mexico and Abraham's talking about how he mentioned Selena's Spanish. He says she's not that good. Like, it's not that good. And that she, yeah, she sings in Spanish, but her Spanish is not that good. And then he remembers, obviously, what he's gone through, because he, when they sing in English when he was in the 60s, that he sang in, him and the Dino sing in English, and they had the bottles thrown at them.
Being Mexican-American is tough. Anglos jump all over you if you don't speak English perfectly. Mexicans jump all over you if you don't speak Spanish perfectly. We got to be twice as perfect as anybody else. Why are you laughing? What's so funny?
Nothing.
I'm serious. Our family has been here for centuries, and yet they treat us as if we just swam across the Rio Grande. I mean, we got to know about John Wayne and Pedro Infante. We got to know about Frank Sinatra and Agustin Lara. We got to know about Oprah and Christina. Anglo food is too bland, and yet when we go to Mexico, we get the runs. Now, that to me is embarrassing.
Oh, Dad!
Japanese Americans, Italian Americans, German Americans, their homeland is on the other side of the ocean. Ours is right next door, right over there. And we gotta prove to the Mexicans how Mexican we are, and we gotta prove to the Americans how American we are. We gotta be more Mexican than the Mexicans and more American than the Americans, both at the same time. It's exhausting. Man. Nobody knows how tough it is to be a Mexican-American.
And so I just feel like that quote is so iconic because it's just still so applicable, I think. I'm Mexican-American, so I...
That's what I was going to ask you, actually. Do you feel like you...
Oh, yeah. Everything he says, like, everything he says, that you have to know how to speak Spanish and you have to know how to speak English. And if you get a word wrong in Spanish, then Mexicans would, like, born in Mexico, Mexicans will judge you. And same if you get a word wrong in English, you know, Americans will judge you. And it's true, because I have that. I've experienced that. I'm sure tons of people have experienced that growing up. So I do speak both languages. But I mean, I went to school in English. So English is my, like, I feel like my academic language. Like, I could write a paper in English and maybe I could write a book in English, but Spanish, I can speak in English and I can translate. And I feel confident a lot more now than when I was 15 and a lot more shaky in my Spanish. But I still get nervous speaking Spanish to, like, someone who is, that's their first language, because yeah, there's things that may come off, or I may not conjugate something properly, or I may, like, you know, so I do get nervous. But yeah, I've been judged before when I said a word wrong in Spanish, people will be like, oh, like, you know, it is gringa, and it's like, yeah, that. And I've also messed up words in English because, or I don't know what certain words mean in English because I've never heard them in my life, because at home we speak Spanish, so how am I supposed to know what that is? And then I feel judged. And then when he says the thing about, like, you got to know who Frank Sinatra is and you've got to know who Pedro Infante is. Like, that's true. Like, I don't know if it's happened to you, but there's been times where I'm, like, talking to someone, you know, American, who, like, born here and, you know, of American descent, whatever, who says something like, oh, something, something. This is just an example, like Billy Joel, and you're like, oh, like Billy Joel, I'm not really, like, familiar with Billy Joel. Like, maybe you know the name, but you don't know songs. And they're like, you don't know who Billy Joel is? Like, well, I'm sorry, that's not what was playing in my Mexican household growing up. And it may have been playing in some Mexican households. But so it's just kind of like you've probably heard this saying a lot, but you know, it's something that a lot of Mexican Americans say, but ni de aquí ni de allá. Sometimes you don't feel like you're enough of one or the other. And it just kind of depends on who you're around the most or what you're exposing yourself to. But it does feel like you're always like, you know, if I tell someone I'm Mexican, they're like, oh, where in Mexico are you from? And you're like, oh, well, actually my parents are from Mexican. So then, like, I've had Mexican, like, older people tell me, like, oh, then you're not Mexican. You're American because you were born here. Well, yeah, I was born here, but my blood is Mexican because both of my parents are from Mexico, and that's the culture that I identify with. So it's an iconic line. It still applies today. And I'm not even, obviously this was focused to Mexican Americans. Oh, and he mentions too, he's like, other countries, like, they're on the other side, they're on the sea, like, we're right next door. And also they're in Texas, which also borders Mexico. So I'm sure, like, a lot of people in California or, like, other places, like, kind of can relate as well. But where you're border and you're, you know, there's a lot of people who grow up in border towns and are like one or the other, ni de aquí ni de allá. Yeah, like, it's just so iconic. It's so relatable. It's still makes so much sense. And I feel like it's yes, it was focused on Mexican Americans because that's what Selena was, and Abraham, but I feel like it could also apply to, like, you're an Ecuadorian American. So let me know if that's applies to you, but I feel like it applies to my friends who are, like, Dominican and also American. And so
one thing I will say, I did like the part when Abraham does say, like we're just right next door. Our, you know, our ancestors or whatever you want to call it, like our, they're just right next door. Yeah, because yeah, my parents are from Ecuador, and yeah, it's never, I never feel any pressure from any Ecuadorians because A, we don't know that many Ecuadorians, you know, around here, especially Utah, and more back in Southern New Jersey. So I never felt that pressure, like, okay, I got to be Ecuadorian enough. And also the fact that my mom, when she came here from Ecuador, she listened to a lot of salsa. So a lot of stuff that we grew up, we listened to some Ecuadorian stuff, but we listened to a lot of also Hector Lavoe and a lot of this stuff. Like, I know a lot of salsa stuff, probably more than I know actual Ecuadorian music and Ecuadorian artists as well. But I never felt that pressure. I feel like, especially like if you grew up in Arizona or Nuevo Mexico or Texas or whatever, yeah, it's, that's probably got to be a lot of pressure as well, because to an extent you may not be seen to be taken seriously by some Mexicans who they like, if you talk a little bit differently and you're Spanish and things like that. So I agree. I think that is the most, the best quote of the line, because it's so relevant to so many people, and still to this day, it still holds its weight.
Right.
Casting what ifs, there's really only one. So Selma Hayek was offered this role, but it was only like a few months after Selena had died that when they had announced that they were going to make this movie. And according to the internet, which is always undefeated, but according to other outlets as well, she turned it down because she felt like it was too close to the death. So she just felt like it wouldn't be right. So she passed on it. It went to Jennifer Lopez. The rest is history. Do you think, just quickly, do you think this would be a better or...
I don't know. I think just because I've seen it so many times, and J-Lo is like in... Yeah, like that's the actor Selena, like the you know, the Selena portrayal that I just know so well, that it's hard for me to picture Salma Hayek. I think Salma Hayek is a phenomenal actress, and she is Mexican, because I know there was that controversy with J-Lo being, yeah, with J-Lo not being Mexican. She was she is Puerto Rican, and then portraying a Mexican-American person. And so yeah, I don't know. I can't picture it simply because I've seen J-Lo in it so much. I think I also read somewhere that Constance Marie auditioned for the part.
Yes, that's true.
I just can't picture it too.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm sure she would have done better than in that, being in that wig when being the mom, but I just see J-Lo in it. And I think even I've read in several places that they've said that Selena's family has said that when they saw J-Lo as Selena, even they were like, whoa.
Yeah.
So I mean, I don't know, maybe Salma Hayek could have gotten the same reaction from them, but I've seen J-Lo in it so much that that's who I'm gonna go with.
Yeah, no, I agree. I'll just do this quickly. I think at that time Salma Hayek was much more of a serious actress that I just didn't think, and not that J-Lo was doing a bunch of comedies, I mean, I guess Jack was a little bit of a comedy-ish to an extent, but I just think it wouldn't have fit right. I think Selma Hayek just didn't fit that mold, you know, at that time back in 96, because they started filming in 96. So I think the casting was spot on as far as like getting it for J-Lo. And obviously we hit on everything else that happened with the casting that maybe, you know, things would have been different.
Right. And I even personally feel like she kind of nailed down the accent, because Selena had a distinct like...
Yes, I read that in the research, that family was impressed.
Yeah, she had a very distinct like Southern Texas, like type of Texas accent. Selena also like it, she's Mexican American. She was known for her Spanish was very broken. And so she seemed like she had no, like she didn't take any shame in it, which I think that is great. Cause I feel like, you know, like I said, the whole like Spanish and English thing is she just laughed it off, and she was just very charismatic as she was, trying to speak Spanish. But, yeah, I feel like even watching the movie, you hear J-Lo, and you know what J-Lo sounds like, cause you've heard her in, you know, everything else now. But you see like it, she does sound like she is trying to have some kind of accent, which, so I feel like she did a really good job. She nailed that. So
absolutely. Great job. Biggest heat check performance. This is a really short performance. Somebody just came in, had a quick line or two and got out, but you remember that one. Two nominees: The Lady That Says We Want to Dance and The Cholo That Says Anything for Salinas.
You know it's The Cholo That Says Anything for Salinas.
Yeah.
It's not even a question.
Oh, yeah. No.
Hey, we'll buy you a new one.
Yeah, let us do your new one.
No,
yeah.
No.
Polish it, dude.
What can we do? Do you need a new one?
Are you kidding me, man? This bumper is going to go on the wall of my garage, carnal. I'm going to put a little sign under it. It's going to say, "This bumper was pulled off by the bus of Salinas."
Like
I mean, anything for Salinas.
Thanks.
Let's go. Okay.
Let's get you I don't even know what the guy's name is.
I don't
know. But
either.
Like, yeah.
I wonder what he's doing. I hope he's doing well.
Yeah, like, it's going to live on forever.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a meme.
The award for biggest overacting. So let me give you the nominees.
Okay.
The kids, when they're told that they're going to play music, like, no, I think that's really lost it. Yeah. young Suzette saying drums, but she doesn't say drums. She says the drums with the whole, like that emphasis on that B and the whining. Suzette, maybe not at times a little bit whiny, like with the Doritos too later on. Like, you know, like, yeah, I don't know what's going on there. The lady that says we want to dance. That's another overacting. The Dino who stutters and says, we don't know any Mexican music. And then the last nominee for overacting, adult Suzette at the fair when she screams, Selena, before her sister bungee jumps. So kids, young Suzette, lady, the Dino, and older Suzette.
Oh, man, that's hard. I don't want to pick anybody. I feel like everybody did their best.
I'm going to give it to Suzette for me.
The young Suzette?
No, older.
Or?
Well, both. Oh. How about that? Both. Both young and old Suzette. The whole, the young Suzette. But also the old one, like, screaming, like, Celine. Like, she's tied in. And there's also, like, an inflatable. She's going to be fine. Like, she's going to be okay. Like, I don't understand that scene. But then again, we talked about that just a few minutes ago.
Yeah.
But that's my nominee.
All right.
That's okay. My winner. What's your winner?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't think I can pick
no
one.
No vote?
You can go no vote if
you want to.
Yeah, I'm going to go with no vote.
Okay. No, that's fine. By default, it's Suzette. Both of them. Congratulations. So the Joey Pants That Guy Award. So this is for an actor and actress who you've seen in other movies. You know you've seen them somewhere, but you just can't remember their name. Maybe you just remember their character's name. So I got three nominees. Lupe Ontiveros, Yolanda. She's been in a ton of other movies. The late Lupe Ontiveros, I'd say. She was in, Real Women Have Curves, yeah. And a lot of other movies as well. Sadie Lopez, who plays Deborah, a.k.a. Selena's friend at the mall. And then the fun fact, she ended up playing Marcela in Selena the TV series.
Oh, so wow.
She's got the Selena multiverse down.
Wow.
Yeah. And then the last nominee is Jacob Vargas, who plays AB, adult AB, because he was in Next Friday. He was on Mi Vida Loca, My Crazy Life, which is like a Chola 90s movie. He's been on a couple of other things. He was recently in Gabriel Iglesias, like a Netflix show and that. But he's been on a lot of stuff as well.
Okay.
So those are the three nominees.
I'm going to have to go with Jacob Vargas.
I lean towards Jacob Vargas. I could see it going to Lupe Ontiveros as well.
Yeah.
Because she's always been seen kind of as like the older Latina mom, like in some roles.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I guess.
So it's one of those two. If I had a lean one, I think I'm going to go Lupe.
Okay.
I think I'm going to go Lupe just because she's been in.
Yeah,
she's been in a couple of stuff. The late Lupe Ontiveros, rest in peace. Half-assed internet research. So there's a lot of it, but I'm going to just go through some of it.
Okay.
Movie mistake. So it appears in the morning when AB gets Big Bertha stuck in the ditch. But when he calls Abraham and Marcela are in bed and it appears to be night. So
yes, you're right.
A little inconsistency there, but, you know, it is what it is. A couple other quick things. Oh, yeah. When Chris drives up in the truck while Celia's mowing the lawn, she asks what he's got. You can hear him say junk food, but his mouth is saying something, is moving something else.
Oh, I didn't notice that. I just said junk food.
there's a ton of other stuff. Let me see. So in the scene where Chris is trying out for the band, this is not a mistake. This is more just like a fun fact. It's not actor John Seda. He's the one who played Chris.
Yeah.
It's not his hands playing the guitar. It's the real Chris Perez's hands.
Oh.
So when they get up close, that's the real Chris Perez's hands.
Okay.
Only seen in this movie. When the real Selena was shot, she wasn't wearing jeans as the movie showed. She was wearing a gray jogging suit. And then also the ring that Yolanda gave Selena was in fact in the singer's hand when paramedics were trying to revive her.
Really?
So that was legit.
Oh, that
and
was?
And I thought that was all BS this whole time.
Yeah, me too. I was like, what is the point of this? I feel like they're trying to say something with like, this. And then it drops in this dramatic and you're just kind of like,
It was in the AP. I read the AP story the other day. Like, yeah.
Oh my gosh.
That was legit.
Yeah, I know. And I remember thinking this last rewatch too. Like, I'm like, what is the need for that?
Yeah.
Like, what? Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. And we mentioned some of the other stuff as far as like whether it's movie mistakes or things like that, like the whole New York, like the Grammys were in New York, they weren't in LA, etc. There's a whole bunch of pages. You can look it up on IMDb. Let's go to probably unanswerable questions.
Mm.
Did Abraham and Marcella give April away when they moved away, or did they make her just so bad? Did they cook her up?
I'm going to say they gave her away to the farm? Family who, yes, who bought the home after
that. Poor April. Did the lady that says we want to dance finally get to dance?
You know she did.
Okay, good. Did AB finally get to wear his bustier?
No, he didn't.
How did Big Bertha get stuck in the ditch?
I wondered that too. Like, all of a sudden she's just in the ditch. Like, did he swerve? Like,
were they using the restroom? Well, also,
that's a Big Bertha. Like, so I don't even know how to... I feel like it's probably easier than we think. He probably just didn't have enough practice driving her.
Yeah, AB, you know? not the best driver. He doesn't have a CDL license. That's okay. This one was one of my ones that I really want to know. I want your opinion. Do you think the food at Papa Gallo's was any good? Because to me, it looked like it was the equivalent of the Red Iguana here in Salt Lake City. Ooh. So like Americanized Mexican food that white people go crazy, you know, over, but they think they're eating real authentic Mexican food. That's just my opinion. And I'm putting it on record. I don't care. I don't care if I'm banned from that place. I'm just putting it out there. Do you think what food was good or not? It was hot, remember? Because you know, burned his hand and then decided to yell at the ear at some waiter.
Okay, you remember the part where he's like, before they opened the restaurant, he was like, you know what, there's not a lot around here, like Mexican food. And you know, and he was like, gringos love Mexican food. And there were a lot of gringos in the restaurant.
Hmm.
Right? Yeah. I'm pretty sure there were a lot of, you know, the lady who was like, oh yeah, I like that. Yeah.
Just like the iguana. Yes.
Yeah, so I'm going to go with, I'm going to go with the gringos probably really like the food there.
That's a very good political answer. I like it. All right. Do you have any unanswerable questions or have I answered?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Not right now, at least.
Okay. Picking nits. The stuttering. I think I mentioned the stuttering with the one, you know, it says Mexican food. I mean, Mexican music. Nah, didn't really need that. He could say Mexican. He looks like a smart guy.
But he was nervous.
Well, okay. That's fair. Okay, I'll give you that. Bad lip syncing by Young Selena, because there is a moment, it's in the movie Mistakes one, that there's one that you could tell she's not singing, but like the sound starts coming out that she is singing. So, that's more maybe the editing.
Yeah.
That's bad editing. Does anyone really look at the moon in Dream? I mean, the stars, yes, but the moon's kind of scary if you look at it.
I mean, I look at the moon.
But do you dream?
No.
Okay, there you go.
Look at the moon.
Yeah, you can look at the moon. That's fine. The moon, yeah. But do you look at the moon and dream?
No.
I look at the stars and dream. Yeah, I'll say that. But not the moon. Moon looks kind of scary. So when Chris gets the okay to join the group, so then he immediately allows two women that he doesn't know to cut and wash his hair in the house he's barely been in. Who does that? Like, you just go up and be like, okay, I just met you. And I'm just gonna let you touch my head and cut the hair that I've probably been growing for like 7 years.
That's fair.
Yeah. So I'm not a fan of the parallel line that Chris and Selena saying he or she makes me feel different.
Oh yeah, that was really corny. Cheesy. It was just cheesy.
Yeah, cheesy.
There are some cheesy moments in this movie. There's definitely some cheesy lines, but yeah, that because like when Selena's talking to her mom about it, like, he's so cute. Funny. And he's so funny. Like,
yeah. Mija, he hardly talks.
It's cheesy, but I that's way more believable than when he's like, she just makes me feel different.
Yeah,
like,
guys don't talk
no,
like that.
No, yeah, yeah. Like, Selena, I believe, like, I believe that.
Especially guys in the 90s.
It can be funny, you
know? Guys in the 90s were not talking
like
that.
But no, like, that was a very cheesy line moment.
Yeah.
I wonder if Chris really does that, but I'm going to go with no.
So Abraham says to Selena, when he gets all mad, you're young, you're beautiful, and you're rich. So if they're rich, why is Big Bertha still kind of crappy, even after the upgrade? And why do the Quintanillas live in a middle-class house if they're rich? Also, Selena and Chris's house kind of looks like a one-bedroom starter home.
Also, was it right next door? It looked like it was right next door.
Which would be like, would you?
No. Yeah, no. I love my family, but no.
I didn't even think about that till now.
I'm pretty sure it was right next door. Yeah, because I was like, wait a sec. Because I was thinking it was that house, but no, she was mowing this lawn. No,
yeah,
no,
I think it was.
She was rich. Maybe they bought the whole block, but
yeah,
still.
That's true. Yeah,
I don't know. That's what Abraham was talking about.
Yeah, maybe they're not buying homes, they're buying blocks. Mm. That's how rich they were. So how did Chris get home after he got off the bus after that argument? Hitchhiker, he called up a buddy or Greyhound. Mm-hmm. But were they in Mexico when that happened?
No,
wait. Were they coming back
after he trashed the hotel room?
No, after they got into the argument and Abraham said, you guys can't be together. Oh. I remember Chris says, that's okay, I can make my way home. I think that's what it was. Or I could make my own way home. And he gets off the bus. How did he get back home? Hitchhike? Because I thought they were in Mexico. I don't know. Who knows?
But still, maybe it was like Monterrey still. Like, I mean, I don't know what Monterrey borders, but I think it is northern Mexico, so closer to... I don't know. Don't quote me on any of this.
Borders, this is pre-9/11, so borders are a little bit more relaxed. Okay.
So he's a musician. Maybe he knows people.
That's true. So during the concert scene in Mexico, how do they get control of the crowd slamming into each other so fast? Because all it took, like, Selena just to get on stage for a second. And also, why didn't they slam into each other once again when she started singing? Because wasn't the whole point that they loved her and they wanted to get closer to her? And also, who knew that Selena, on this tiny stage that she and the band are on, can get a crowd of 100,000 people, not 1,000 people, 100,000 people, to all be quiet at the same time with just a little shh. So you're telling me that that crowd allegedly can see her saying her to be quiet? So they all had like 2010 vision.
Yeah, and there were no screens. You know how like a concert's
right? Yeah, there were no screens. They can all see her.
My thing with that scene was like obviously they're very rowdy. She calms them down. So she's singing the beginning of Como la Flor really slow, calm. But then it like kicks up again. So it's like if they did calm down, why would they stay calm once the beat picks up? You know, right. There's my question. How did they stay calm?
That's a good question. So Selena tells Chris, can't you just hold me? So my argument is, Selena, can't you just be clear and ask Chris directly to hold you for the moment that you walked in? Like, don't get mad at him for not being able to read your mind. That's just my two cents. The last one, I'm just going to say it. The ring Yolanda gets Selena so damn ugly. Like, I'm sorry.
This was the 90s. It looked like a class ring, but with an egg. Yeah.
Who buys?
Even Selena was like...
Yeah,
even she was trying to like it. Like, oh, thank you.
Like, to me, it looked like it should have been a sign that's for Selena that says, like, this woman hates me. Who does this? Who buys a ring with an egg on it? But, you know, it is what it is. She's not going to turn it down, right? It's the president of her fan club, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So those are my nits. Any more picking nits?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Questions that need answers.
Yeah. Could this be remade into a 10-episode Netflix series? Well, in Selena's case, we don't have to ask that question because it's already been answered. They made it into a series. I watched one episode. I felt like I was rewatching the movie, and I did not see another episode ever since.
Wait, was it? Because I haven't seen it. I just haven't come around to watch it. I feel like eventually.
You don't need to.
Yeah, I just didn't feel excited to watch it because I hold the movie like on a pedestal because it's just so much of like it's just so rewatchable to me. It's just like it brings like good memories, and so I don't want anything to taint it because I know there was also the. And maybe I just think I hold it up on a pedestal. But I know that the Telemundo did a series on it a while back. And I had watched a few episodes here and then because my mom was watching it. It just didn't hit the same. It just seemed a little more like dramatized. And it was just, I don't know how to explain it, but it just didn't. Maybe it's because I like romanticized the movie, but it just didn't hit the same way. So I didn't watch more of it. But then when I saw like the preview, and there's nothing against the actors or anything, but I just didn't know if I wanted... anything else to taint the movie that I hold up high. So that's why I still haven't, I think I will at some point, but I just wasn't like, oh, I have to watch this immediately. So that's why I still haven't. And I've heard like mixed reviews. And so, I mean, I feel like I'm still gonna have to make up my mind one day, but I mean, is it the same story essentially? I've heard the episode that you watched.
The episode I watched, it really starts off like the beginning of this movie. Like they're young,
like the kids?
They're learning how to sing. They got to move out of the house. There are some extra stuff. It is very similar.
At least that episode,
And so for me, it's like I know they added some stuff. They added like more from what I've read, like more on Suzette's character and AB and all this other stuff.
Yeah, it's more focused on the family and like the childhood. Like because obviously the movie you only have 2 hours, and so obviously it's going to jump from different points to her life, and then you know different things.
I just felt it was like I couldn't get into it because A, the movie is so classic, you know, especially at this point, and also I just felt unnecessary. It'd be like somebody says, "We're going to make a 10-part series about Titanic." The same. We're not going to change anything
about
Titanic.
Don't give anybody any ideas.
It's probably going to happen. Yeah. we're not going to change anything. Like, Jack's still going to die. Like, Rose is still all this like
These
that.
These scenes are just going to be longer.
Their scenes are going to be longer. Like, for what? Like, what? Like, I just, and that's why after I watched that first episode on Netflix, I'm like, I don't have any stomach to even watch more of this. Not because the acting is bad or nothing like that. It's just so unnecessary. We don't need this. And that's why some people, this is just what I've read, have criticized the Quintanilla family. It's like, this is another reason that they're exposing the name of Selena and all this other stuff. And that's a whole other argument or a whole other debate for a whole other day. But, I mean, it lends itself to that argument.
Yeah.
So if you want to watch it, I mean, you can, but it's like, it's really...
I think I will at some point just because out of curiosity, but I don't think that'll be any time soon.
You're not going to be blown away.
Yeah. No, yeah. And I think I would go into it with low expectations anyways, because I like the movie. And the movie's 2 hours compared to like a 10 hour or however long.
I think it was two seasons too.
Oh yeah. And I think it just two seasons, right?
Yeah, I think it was just two seasons. So. But like if that's 20 episodes. Like,
yeah.
I don't know if we need 20 episodes of... Selena, as much as we like Selena.
Right, don't get me wrong, I love Selena content, but I don't know that we need any more of it in that sense. Not I guess the same content. Right. So, although there is this podcast called Anything for Selena, and I think it's really, really good. There's a lot of Selena content out there. It's by this journalist. I don't have her name on hand, but she actually got to interview Abraham, and she did like she talks about like tons of different aspects. She looks at it through a journalist's eye or point of view, and it's I think it's very good. There's a lot of Selena content out there. Some of it is not that great, but this podcast is really great, so I recommend checking it out.
Nice. Last two categories, and the two major categories, if you will, this is like best director and best picture at the Oscars. So Apex Mountain. So I'm gonna give you a list, and you could add in any more if you'd like, and then we vote on who do we think is the Apex Mountain, meaning this is their peak.
Okay.
So the nominees are Chicken's Name April. Poor casting jobs as far as age of actors and the real age of the people they're portraying. Corpus Christi, Texas. Hot Sauce on Holsters.
Oh my gosh.
Now we'll get to a little bit more serious ones. Tejano Music. Because there is an argument, some people say that this is really the peak of Tejano Music. Was the movie, and also just Selena in general. This whole 94, 95 is the peak of Tejano Music. Selena Quintanilla's legacy. Instead of just her music, that this movie helped enhance and really was the peak. This is from what I've read. I'm not making the argument. I'm just putting it out there as a nominee.
Like that when you say Apex Mountain, like that.
That this movie was the peak of her legacy. Even beyond her music, because she didn't, like, if we're looking back at it, it's kind of sad to say she didn't really see the fruits of that album that came out, like, you know, that had the Dreaming of You and everything. Like, she didn't see it, you know? And so some people say maybe this was really the peak of her legacy, was this movie kind of finalized it. She became, I mean, you could say she kind of became legend. Mm-hmm. The last nominee is Jennifer Lopez's signature role as an actress. Like, is this the apex of Jennifer Lopez as an actress? Not as an entertainer. Not as, you know, she can dance and sing and all this stuff, and she's just like a media mogul. As an actress. Because I kind of maybe lean towards yes. Because if you look, think about it, I mean, what's her other signature role? What, Made in Manhattan? Like, what's...
Shoelle, have you never seen Enough?
But do you think enough?
I know, sorry.
or Out of Sight or some of these other ones. I know she's done a lot of like rom coms and things.
Yeah,
like
she's.
That.
I mean, she's very much like the rom com.
And that's fine. Yeah, and
yeah, you're right.
It.
You're right. But like a serious. Yeah, I mean, there was Hustlers, but to me, I just really like Enough.
Yeah, no, and that's fine.
To me, that's a rewatchable.
It's not Anaconda.
Anaconda was
a good mistake.
Was she in Anaconda before or after Selena?
I think it was after, because I think that was after 90. Like, I think that was 98.
I don't know. I like J-Lo. I'm not like a diehard J-Lo fan. I like her in movies. I think she's better in movies than in music. I also think she's a performer herself. Like she's a performer. She's a dancer. And I do like Enough. I just love it. It's just so good.
We'll do a rewatchable.
I don't know why. It's just, it's like cheesy too, but it's that's definitely a huge rewatchable. For me at least. That's a good point. I don't know. I don't think it's Selena's, because that's your vote, right?
My vote is, I thought it originally was Selena Quintanilla's legacy, but I think it's more her music, not this movie. My vote for Apex Mountain is Jennifer Lopez's signature role as an actress, because it's going to sound morbid, but like if we had to write an obituary for J-Lo, I think the lead thing would be Jennifer Lopez, best known for her movie role as Selena and her music and things like that. I just can't see Made in Manhattan or Enough or any of these other movies being that line. And not that that's supposed to be the end all be all, but there's some actors who have so many outstanding roles, actors, actresses, I mean, like, you know, just both genders. Like, for example, Leonardo DiCaprio.
Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah, you could say, I guess, Titanic or whatever, but that was really his first breakout role. He was already in movies before that.
Right.
You know, but he's been in so many other ones, and he didn't even win an Oscar for Titanic.
He's been amazing.
Like, he's been amazing. So you could just see, like, arguably one of the greatest actors of all time would be probably his obit line. I think, in a sense, for J-Lo, even if she retired, let's not maybe go more, but let's just go like she's just retiring from acting. I think the first movie that you'd have to say would be Selena. I think it's just, it's probably her best dramatic performance that she's ever done. And I was thinking about this the other day, and I want to get your thoughts on it. If this movie came out instead of in 97, it came out in 2007, mm-hmm. I think it'd be a completely different movie in the sense of we wouldn't see it the same. Because by 2007, J-Lo was already a star.
Yeah.
She was already a pop music. And I think one of the things that makes this performance in a way better is because we as an audience get to see, like, this was Jennifer Lopez before she was Jennifer Lopez. Mm-hmm. Like, we could kind of believe a little bit, like, she is Selena here. Because now when you see Jennifer Lopez in some roles, not all of them, you kind of be like, oh, yeah, that's J-Lo, and she's in this movie. It's almost like what's happening with The Rock nowadays. Like, The Rock is, like, basically the same character in every movie.
Yeah, J-Lo is very much
and it's kind of that, but, like, if this movie was made in 2007, I think it would have been really tough to, like, get away from, like, that's J-Lo trying to be Selena. Whereas the fact that this was in 97, she kind of was Selena and she fell into that, at least for me.
She didn't have all these other roles.
So for me, my vote is I do think this is her signature role.
That, I mean, I think you make a really good point. The reason I say that's interesting is because I know that Jennifer Lopez was Selena in this movie. But if you were to ask me to name, if we weren't talking about this and you were to ask me to name like five J-Lo movies, I don't know why, but like Selena, I wouldn't name Selena. Like, I don't know why. And everything you're saying is right. But like as I'm thinking through it, I'm just like, you're right. Like, yes, but I like for some reason it's weird because I know that she's Selena, but like I forget sometimes, like I don't know why, like maybe it's because like you're saying, like she was Selena in that role. I just don't associate with her. Like when you're listing all the movies, I'll be like, oh, that's right. And she also did Selena a bunch of years ago. Like, I don't know. But I also know that she is Selena. So I don't know. I can't explain that. Mm. I'm like actually just trying to understand why I think that. Mm. But yeah, that's interesting because I wouldn't name, like if you were to ask me to name, like, you know, what are those movies in the past, or whatever, even like movies that I didn't like or whatever. I feel like I could name those before I would name Selena, so I don't know.
What about Tejano music?
I don't want to that might be my vote, but only because I don't think I know a ton of Tejano music.
Yeah.
So maybe that's and I didn't hear any, but or that also could just be a preference. Like I didn't seek out more Tejano music because like I mean I don't know if you would call cumbias like tipo Tejano, because I mean I listen to cumbia, but I don't know if it's the same kind, if it would be in the same category, but like
somebody see it as an Americanized version of cumbia, and some people might
maybe that's my vote. I don't think it's Selena.
How about Chicken's Name April, at least?
Oh.
At least that. Or how about the poor casting job of age? Or maybe there's been other movies that have really bad
I'm sure there has been movies that have also that's a tough one. I don't know.
Corpus Christi, at least.
Oh, that's right. Also, Corpus Christi, they do. I think they do a festival. What is it called? Fest something. They do something every year in honor of Selena, I think, and it's like festival de flor or something. Festival flowers. It's something, but they do it every year, and a lot of people go because of Selena.
Yeah.
But I also only associate Corpus Christi with Selena, so maybe Corpus Christi.
Yeah.
I don't know. Okay. I don't know. That's a tough one.
Okay. And just to kind of, before we get to the last one, I didn't mention like Edward James Olmos, because this is not his apex. His apex was like his Oscar nominated, like his performance, was it Stand and Deliver?
Was he nominated for that?
Yeah, he was nominated for that.
Okay,
so
that's
like,
a great one.
So yeah, like Constantine, no, I would say George Lopez, the series, George Lopez, I think, you know, that one.
That's what she's probably
For Vargas. Maybe it was probably Next Friday, you know, or maybe even My Crazy Life. So a lot of people remember him because of that.
Yeah, and John
Seda, I think. Seda. Yeah.
Well,
it was probably Law and Order.
Because I think he was in Law. He's on Chicago PD.
Oh, was it Chicago? Oh, okay. Finally, who won the movie?
What are the categories? I mean, what are the nominees?
This one.
Oh, it was open-ended?
This is really open-ended.
Well, I don't
all right,
do
I can
well.
Give you some. I can give you some, all right?
Okay.
Latino movies in general?
Okay.
I should say Latino movies finally becoming more mainstream. Jennifer Lopez, the Quintanillas, Selena's Legacy.
I'm going to go with Selena's Legacy. I mean, I don't think this, like we said, this wasn't the Apex Mountain, right?
Yeah, it wasn't Apex Mountain.
No, but I don't know. I just think that, yeah, I'm going to go with her legacy. I just think it, like, and obviously it's a movie. It's a biopic. So some things are played up and some things are not. But I don't know. I just feel, I remember listening to Selena music when I was younger, probably before I saw the movie because I knew who it was about. But something about the movie just kind of cemented her as this icon. Like she was just, she's this girl who's looking at the moon and dreaming. But she
nobody
was just,
does.
Except Selena.
Except Selena.
But it's I don't know. It's just this you just love her from the beginning. You love her. She's just down to earth. She's charismatic. She's talented beyond means. Like she's just captivating. And then she goes on stage. Like, so I do wonder, cause obviously like, yes, we've got a ton of Selena music and there's all this Selena content. We've got the show. Like I said, we've got the podcast. There's clothes, there's style, like she had a certain style that you see like trickle into different trends now, and they're influenced by Selena. I wonder if all of that would have been the same had there not been a movie, because she was a star and she did have her music. A lot of people knew who she was, but the movie probably elevated that, because that introduced a lot of other people to her, to who she, not just like her music, but to her story, like where she came from, how she got there, and what she was like while she was experiencing all of that. Yeah. So I'm going to go with her legacy.
Okay. I'm going to go with a tie with Selena's legacy and Jennifer Lopez, because it launched her career.
It did, yeah.
Like, actually, doing the research, Jennifer Lopez was inspired to do music because of doing this one. And there's only one time where Jennifer Lopez uses her real voice.
Oh, is it when she says "Como la flor"?
Yep,
that's it.
Yeah, that's the only time.
I'm not gonna sing it, but you know, it's not gonna sound anything like that. But
I still do believe in. I think it's her signature role, and not that she can't have another signature role in the future. I'm sure she could, but to this day, I think it's her best performance, and it shouldn't matter. I know it shouldn't matter, but for some people, it does. It's her most serious role, or probably even though it's not like a. It's not like a serious, like she's not going to get an Oscar nomination, but it's probably like her best dramatic role. How about that? It's probably her best dramatic role. I know she's been like, she's done other things, like you said, like Enough and some of these other ones that she's maybe had to be a little bit more dramatic, but like this one felt a little bit more like, felt a little bit more believable, and it just felt more grounded. And it's not a knock towards Jennifer Lopez. I know maybe some people might think it is, that like, has she not done any good movies? She's done good movies. Yeah. Like, don't get me wrong. But it's kind of like with, if I had to compare to something, it's maybe not the same performance, but like Spike Lee's best movie might be his second, what was it, his third technically movie, I think it was Do the Right Thing, his first mainstream movie. He's done other movies, he's done Black Klansman, he's done other ones that have been great movies, but he's probably going to be best known for Do the Right Thing because it just had the most cultural impact, and it's one of the best movies really over the past 35, 40 years. I think with Jennifer Lopez has that thing, like, yes, it was her first signature role, and I still think it's her best role.
It might also be, I mean, obviously only J-Lo knows this, and she's done a lot more movies since, but there was a ton of pressure for her. Because there was already backlash about her being cast as Selena. She knew, I mean, yeah, you had to know who Selena was, and then you knew the impact that she had. So there was a lot of pressure going into it. And so she wasn't just like, and she wasn't this huge name that she is now. And so going into it, she had a lot of people to prove, a lot of things to prove. But she also had to like master the mannerisms. And I know there's criticism about some of it, but she had to master the mannerisms, the accent, the whole persona. And so that seems like a lot of pressure. I don't know. Only J-Lo knows, but I wonder, like, compared to other roles, maybe it's because now she's just more seasoned. So she takes a role and she, like, you know, will be like, all right, this is the role. This is the mood I'm in. This is whatever. But this was just a big, I still wonder, like, to this day, is this the role that she was like really, really, really had to prepare for? Maybe because of where she was in her career and what it all meant. But there's a lot that goes into something like that, like where you have to like emanate somebody and then get things down. Like I read that she studied her mannerisms. I read something about, I don't even know if this is true, but I read something about how like she even like, cause she would spend time with the family, like getting to know her.
I read that she lived with them.
Yeah. Oh, so it was true. I read something about how she slept in her bed. Like,
yeah. She lived with like 2 weeks or something like that, or 2 months.
So
or something.
Wow. Like, and so I don't know. I wonder again, like only J-Lo knows this, and she's done a lot more. She's had a lot more roles, since, but I wonder if this was the role that she prepared the most for.
That's a good question.
Maybe not, maybe, but I'm just, yeah, I'm curious because I would assume, I just know there's a lot of pressure. There was a lot of pressure, so.
That's all the categories.
Huh, that was
this
fun.
This has been a marathon.
I gotta go watch the movie again. Just kidding. Yeah. I mean, I probably will.
I'm gonna look for more. I'm gonna look for more nitpicks. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, again.
No, but this was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I hope, you know, for the listener, I hope this was a lot of fun as well. I can't recommend enough if you like not only this episode, but these kind of episodes. I do recommend going, you know, they're not paying me for this, but like become a subscriber to the Rewatchables. They do this with a lot of movies. And like I mentioned earlier at the beginning, it's just a lot of fun. You know, there's a lot of, we could hear bad news all day about anything that's happening on a local, national level or whatever, you know, or even just what's going on with ever your life. It's sometimes nice to just get away from it and be silly and just have fun with it. Like, just kind of like what we did here for this last, how many minutes have we done, an hour or plus that we've done. But it's just fun to kind of get away and talk about something that's not so serious. And we could just kick back and have fun with it. And as much as we've joked around about this movie and just kind of nitpicked it here and there, we do love this movie. Like, yeah. It is rewatchable. It's a classic.
It's comfort.
Like, it's something that's, you know, will continue on for generations. And I really do think, you know, this movie helped not only the Selena's legacy, it obviously kicked out Jennifer. It's almost like it's hand in hand. Yeah. It really did. Because if this movie was a bomb, like, A, obviously Jennifer Lopez is not who she is. And also, I don't think it hurts Selena's legacy, but it's not the same. I think the movie helps.
It wouldn't have skyrocketed it the same way. Maybe it would have just, it would have been like for just a very like niche group of fans.
Yeah. You bet. It's been a pleasure.
Likewise.
Yeah. And always so, fun. Yeah, you could find us on social media. We are at Cafecito Pod, right?
For, yes. On Twitter, I always forget. Instagram.
Yeah. God bless independence. On Twitter, on Instagram. We're going to, you know, obviously try to wheel out more episodes, you know, and not just like rewatchable ones, but just kind of everything that we've done in the past. We appreciate those, you know, that have been, you know, waiting, and those who maybe have forgotten. Yes, we're back. And you can find us on social media, obviously. For me, I'm at Joel Cardenas.
And I'm at Evie Cruz on Twitter.
And just wanted to say, yeah, thank you. And it's great to be back.
Till next time.
You got to say ciao.
Ciao.
There you go.